All right, so have you ever watched like one of those legal thriller movies or shows, and you see like a dramatic police raid and they just like bust into a suspect's house? It always kind of makes me think like, wait, how much power do they actually have to just barge into someone's home?
Well, that's a great question because, I mean, we all want to feel safe in our homes, right? But, we also need the police to be able to, catch criminals and do their
Right, it's
jobs.
like a tough balance.
It is, yeah. And thankfully, the Constitution actually does address this pretty specifically. The Fourth Amendment is all about protecting people from unreasonable searches and seizures. That very much includes our homes.
Okay, so that makes sense. Like our homes are supposed to be our safe spaces, but then how do we balance that with the need for law enforcement to like actually enforce the law? I mean, sometimes they do need to get into those homes to do their job, right?
Absolutely. And that's where this idea of the knock and announce rule comes in. It's this long-standing principle that in most cases, police officers are supposed to knock on the door, announce that they're there, and wait a reasonable amount of time before going in. It's about giving the person inside a chance to open the door, understand what's happening, and avoid any unnecessary confrontation.
So it's like the polite way to execute a search warrant, right? Like, excuse me, ma'am, we have a warrant. Mind if we come in?
Well, maybe not quite that polite, but yeah, you get the idea. It's all about respecting someone's rights while still allowing the police to do their job.
Okay, so how does this knock and announce rule actually play out in real life? Like, have there been any major court cases about
Oh,
this?
absolutely. It was really put to the test in a 1995 Supreme Court case called Wilson v. Arkansas.
Ah, okay. This sounds like where things start to get interesting. What happened to this Wilson case?
So the case involved a woman named Charlene Wilson. She was selling drugs to a police informant, but things actually got a bit more tense because at one point she threatened the informant with a gun because she thought they were working with the police.
Oh, wow. Okay, so already a pretty charged situation.
Yeah, definitely not your average drug bust. So the police did have warrants to search her home and arrest her,
Okay.
but they entered her home. It was unlocked without knocking first.
Oh, interesting.
They did announce themselves as they were entering, though.
So kind of following the rule, but not really.
Right. And inside, they found drugs, paraphernalia, and a gun. Wilson was arrested and charged. But of course, she argued that the way the police entered violated her Fourth Amendment rights.
And so her case went all the way to the Supreme Court.
It did. It became this really important case for figuring out how the Fourth Amendment applies to these kind of tricky real-life scenarios.
Yeah, I bet. So what was the main question the court had to decide in this case?
The big question was this: does the Fourth Amendment always require police to knock and announce before entering a home, or are there exceptions to that rule?
Right, because like we were saying, sometimes it seems like it'd be really dangerous or counterproductive for the police to have to announce themselves, right?
Exactly.
So what did the Supreme Court say? Did they say the police were in the wrong for how they entered Wilson's house?
Well, they didn't actually rule on whether the police were specifically justified in this case. But they did make it clear that this knock and announce principle, is a part of what makes a search reasonable under the Fourth Amendment.
Oh, okay.
It's not just a suggestion, it's something the court considers when they're deciding whether someone's rights were violated.
Right, it's like an actual legal factor, not just a courtesy.
Exactly. And this is a big, but the court also acknowledged that the Fourth Amendment isn't about these like super rigid, inflexible rules. It's about what's reasonable in a specific situation.
So that means there's some wiggle room. Like, what would be a reasonable exception to the knock and announce rule?
Well, for example, if the police have a reason to believe that knocking and announcing would put them or someone else in danger, that could be a valid reason to skip it.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, if they think the suspect might be armed and dangerous or something.
Right. Or if they have reason to think that the suspect might destroy evidence if they know the police are coming, that could also be an exception.
So it's not just a free pass for the police.
Yeah.
They have to have a really solid reason to skip the knock and announce.
Exactly. It's got to be more than just a hunch or suspicion. There needs to be real evidence to back it up.
Interesting. So going back to Charlene Wilson, did the Supreme Court ultimately say whether those exceptions applied in her case?
They didn't actually. What they did was send the case back down to the Arkansas courts to be reconsidered.
To be reconsidered. What does that mean exactly?
Well, they basically said, hey, lower courts, here's how you need to think about this knock and announce rule.
Okay.
Now go back and figure out if the police in this particular case were justified in skipping it.
Ah, so they set the ground rules. but they left it up to the lower courts to apply those rules to the specific details of Wilson's case.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
This is already getting pretty complicated, and it seems like there's still a lot to unpack here.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? This case actually brings up even more questions. Like, what happens if the police DO violate the knock and announce rule? Does that automatically mean any evidence they find is inadmissible?
Right, because it seems like there should be some kind of penalty if the police just, like, barge into someone's home without a good reason.
Right. So that brings us to the whole idea of the exclusionary rule, which we're going to dive into even deeper right after this. So we ended on this idea of the exclusionary rule. You know, this rule says that if evidence is obtained illegally, it can't be used in court.
Right, right. So the question is, does that apply if the police mess up the entry by, you know, violating that knock and announce rule?
That's exactly the question that the Supreme Court had to deal with. And they actually took it up in another case, a 2006 case called Hudson v. Michigan.
Hudson v. Michigan. Okay, so this is like round two in the knock and announce saga, I guess?
Pretty much. And for lawyers, this case is huge.
All right, so break it down for us. What happened in Hudson v. Michigan?
All right, so in Hudson, the police, they had a warrant to search a guy's home, a man named Booker Hudson, for drugs and guns. They announced their presence, but only waited a few seconds before forcing their way in.
A few seconds, that's it.
Yeah, like 3 to 5 seconds. A pretty clear violation of that reasonable wait time part of the knock and announce rule.
I mean, come on, a few seconds is barely enough time to even process what's happening, let alone get to the door.
Exactly. And just like in Wilson, the police found what they were looking for, drugs and a gun.
So same situation, different case. What happened this time? Did the court finally address that exclusionary rule question?
They did. They actually ruled that even if the police violate the knock and announce rule, it doesn't automatically mean that any evidence they find gets thrown out.
Wait, really? That doesn't seem right. If the police just ignore the rules like that, shouldn't there be consequences?
I know, it seems kind of counterintuitive, but the court's thinking was a bit more nuanced. They basically argued that while the exclusionary rule is important for deterring police misconduct, throwing out evidence in every single knock and announce violation wouldn't actually be an effective way to do that.
Okay, so walk me through that logic. How is ignoring this kind of rule not considered police misconduct?
Well, the court thought there are already other ways to hold police accountable for this type of violation, things like civil lawsuits or disciplinary action within the police department. They were also worried about what would happen if important evidence in a serious case got thrown out just because of a technicality with the way the police entered.
So basically, they're saying that sometimes the benefit of putting a dangerous criminal behind bars outweighs the need to punish the police for bending the rules a little bit.
Yeah, in a nutshell. And as you might imagine, this decision in Hudson caused a lot of controversy.
Yeah, I can see why. It feels like a slippery slope.
Definitely. A lot of legal experts were worried that it weakens the Fourth Amendment and basically gives police more leeway to ignore people's rights. But others felt like it was a necessary compromise to balance individual rights with the need for effective law enforcement.
Sounds like a real legal tug of war. What's the bottom line for our listeners, especially those of you out there who are lawyers and might be dealing with these kinds of issues?
The important thing to remember is that while knock and announce is this constitutional principle, it's not a super strict rule. There are exceptions, and courts always have to consider the specifics of each case to figure out if those exceptions apply.
So it really comes down to the details, huh?
Exactly. And that's what makes things tricky for lawyers. It often involves some pretty in-depth legal analysis, looking at the specific circumstances and figuring out how the law applies.
So for lawyers handling these kinds of cases, what are some of the key things they should be ready to argue?
Well, if you're arguing that the police violated the knock and announce rule, you got to really hammer home the point that they didn't have a valid reason to skip the knock. You need to prove that there was no real danger, no risk of evidence being destroyed, none of those exceptions we talked about.
But even if you can prove all of that, there's still no guarantee that the evidence will be thrown out, right? Thanks to Hudson v. Michigan.
Unfortunately, that's true. The exclusionary rule isn't an automatic consequence of a knock and announce violation anymore. That means lawyers have to get a bit more creative with their strategies. You got to look at other ways to hold the police accountable, like maybe focusing on civil suits or going through internal disciplinary processes.
Wow, this is making my head spin a little. Criminal law is a whole other level of complicated, it seems.
Oh, it definitely is. There are so many nuances and details to consider. Every case is unique.
Well, this deep dive into Wilson v. Arkansas and the knock and announce rule has definitely opened my eyes to just how complicated this all is. But I have a feeling this is just the tip of the iceberg, right?
You're exactly right. Wilson and Hudson were just the beginning. There are so many other cases that have built upon these decisions, adding even more layers of complexity to this whole knock and announce thing. And as technology keeps developing and police tactics evolve, we can definitely expect even more legal challenges and debates in the future.
It sounds like this knock and announce saga is far from over. We'll definitely have to revisit this topic in future deep dives. But for now, let's move on to something a little lighter, shall we? So we've covered a lot of ground here talking about knock and announce, those big Supreme Court cases like Wilson and Hudson, and that whole debate around the exclusionary rule. But I think it's time to step back for a second and ask, like, why should any of this actually matter to, you know, everyday people?
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's not like we're all dealing with SWAT teams busting down our doors on a regular basis, right?
Right. Hopefully not.
So how does all this legal stuff actually affect our lives?
Well, you know, even though most of us won't ever experience a dramatic police raid, this whole knock and announce thing, it's not just about those extreme situations. It's really about something much bigger.
Okay, what do you mean?
It's about protecting those basic rights that we all have as citizens, you know? It's about making sure that everyone, regardless of whether they're suspected of a crime or not, has a certain level of security and privacy in their own home.
Okay, I see what you're saying. It's about knowing that the police can't just come barging into your house whenever they feel like it, unless they have a really, really good reason.
Exactly. The knock and announce rule, at its core, it's all about protecting our privacy, our dignity, and our safety. It makes sure that law enforcement, even when they're doing their job, they're operating within the boundaries of the law and respecting our basic rights.
But I can also see the other side of the argument. Right?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, police officers put their lives on the line every day.
Yeah.
And they need to be able to do what they need to do to keep us safe. Wouldn't always having to knock and announce, like, potentially put them at risk or give a suspect time to, you know, get rid of evidence or something?
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly why those exceptions to the rule exist, right? Those situations where it's just not safe or practical to knock and announce. But the important thing is that those exceptions are only supposed to be used when there's a genuine need, not just based on assumptions or, you know, gut feelings.
Right. It has to be based on actual evidence and a real threat.
Exactly.
So it sounds like finding that balance between individual rights and effective law enforcement is a pretty tricky thing.
Yeah, it is. And it's something that courts and lawmakers are constantly grappling with. There's no easy answer. It often comes down to making these tough calls and weighing competing interests. You know, it's not black and white.
Right. It's all shades of gray. So for our listeners out there, what do you think is the most important thing they should take away from all of this?
I think the main takeaway is that the law is constantly changing. It's not this fixed set of rules, you know, it's always evolving. Wilson v. Arkansas, it was a big deal. It established this knock and announce principle, but it also left some questions unanswered. And then later cases like Hudson v. Michigan, they added even more layers of complexity. So it's on all of us to stay informed and engaged with how the law is changing and developing.
It's like the law is a living, breathing thing. We got to keep up with it.
Exactly.
Well, I think this deep dive has given us a lot to think about. And it definitely makes me appreciate how complicated this whole system is.
Me too. And hopefully for our listeners, it sparked some interesting conversations and, you know, made them think about these issues in a new way.
I hope so. Well, on that note, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of knock and announce. We'll catch you next time.